Morning, everybody. So we got a good problem. We have a lot of people. With that, sometimes we don't have a whole lot of space. So as we continue growing, if you see people coming in and looking for a seat, just try to, reposition yourself a little bit to kind of fit in families. Just kind of be aware of that as we continue to grow. So it's a great blessing. So you notice that this guy was playing bass. That's my brother-in-law from Virginia. So yeah. Thank you, Ezra. So and then lastly, you always think about these things after. The name Caleb is becoming popular like Scott in this church. So I don't know what the dealio is, but Ruby and Mark just had their baby. How long ago? Like a week ago? 2 weeks ago?
I'm still
He's not sleeping. But they have a Caleb. Jesse and Caleb have a Caleb. And I'm sure there's other Calebs around here. So, like my son. Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, there's that guy, too. thanks for the reminder. You know, now that I come to think of it, that's a pretty good name. oh, man, I love you guys. I missed you guys so much. I am really happy to be up here and see your faces again. Many faces I don't know because I was gone for 2 weeks. We were gone in Mexico, and so I missed two Sundays. So there's some people here that I don't know, which is awesome. But I walked through the door Friday morning, and I just got this overwhelming sense of peace. Like I had come home again. You know, even though I'd been home for a week, I came in here and was like home again, you know? So I'm super excited to be back. And God is so good. I mean, he brought you guys here. I don't know if any of you had to traverse the canyon over there because you forgot there was a detour. But we had some people last week that did that. You know, anything to get here, hey, you do what you got to do. There is a detour if you guys are coming from the north. It's a little bit shorter if you don't follow the signs. So just so you guys know. Yeah, you gotta get creative. I found it last night. So if you go, the detour is on Jones, right? And then you turn left on Log. Don't go all the way down to Peyton Highway, and it takes you to 94 and back. Log to McDaniels. So it's dirt road, but it's a little bit, it cuts that time in half for sure. So anywho, so many of you know we had our first mission trip to Mexico with our teens, right? Yeehaw. Yeah, clap, it's good. we were pioneers in two ways. So we were first from Ellicott Church to go on a trip, and we were the first to go solely for supporting the Joshua program. Okay, you might be asking, what is the Joshua program? Okay, so we're going to show you a little light slideshow here in a minute. But Light Shine is a ministry down in Mexico that ministers to the Tarahumara Indians. And they're native people. Their language goes back as far as they can go back. I mean, it's an old language. But these people live in areas called colonias. Very poor, unreached, a lot of really not great things that I won't go into that happen there. But the Light Shine program caters to the kids. The adults are really hard to reach, but they can reach the kids, and the parents allow it. So Light Shine ministers to the kids. They give them a meal. They teach them about Christ and give them just a great time to study God's word. And just learn a little bit of that. So they form connections with other kids in the other colonias because they may not know each other because they're separated throughout Chihuahua, which is a pretty big city. So they get to connect with their own people, which is really, really cool. And they maintain their culture. So that's Light Shine. Well, the Joshua program is when the kids that graduate Light Shine, some of the kids they see leadership potential. So they ask them to join the Joshua program. But it's pretty strict. You have to maintain your attendance with the classes. You have to be in school. which for the tire modder is really, really hard because there's a lot of pressure from home and from their other friends to quit school, drugs, whatever. That's the pull for them. So 50% don't make it through the program. 50% don't make it through for various reasons. But we're there to love on these kids. We made some awesome connections. And the kids, some of the kids opened up that have never opened up to anybody before. And they open up to us. Just blew our minds. We're like, wow, this is crazy. One girl, Amy, who's playing on piano, she went with us. She was our lady leader. One girl who doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't want contact with anybody because of all the severe abuse, gave Amy a hug. So really cool stuff. A lot of great things happening. And we get to support the staff, which they've never been supported before. They've never been cared for. They're kind of doing their own thing with the Joshua program. So a lot of opportunities for our church. So I know some of you are asking, like, how did it go? It's really hard to put in one sentence whenever you greet somebody. It's great. It was awesome. It was life-altering, right? That only just tells you the surface. So we have this slideshow. It's only a taste of the relationships that we formed, but I trust that you will see what the Holy Spirit is doing. But before we do that, I want to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning. All the people that you brought here and, Lord, safely brought here through all the road closures and craziness out there. Father, as we get into your word and we study what it means to send disciples, Lord, the wrap-up of Be, Make, Send, Lord, I pray that you just open up our hearts to the things that you have for us this morning in your word and what send disciples means to each one of us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, here you go. Here's your slideshow. Yes, thank you guys so much for sending us. We couldn't have done it without you guys. One fundraiser was just over and beyond what we could have ever imagined, and everybody got fully funded in one day. So it was just like, wow, praise God. So as you can see, we went kayaking, and the Joshua Program kids have never been there. They've never seen water like that, never had that experience, so we got to share that with them. Three people almost drowned, but we made it back, so as you can see, it was 111 degrees that day, so we were so grateful to be in the water. that last slide where we were singing, the power had gone out, and it had been almost 3 hours, and so we had no water. It's still 90 degrees, and it's 9:30 at night, and so there's nobody's going to sleep because you can't turn on the ladies upstairs, especially. Heat rises, right? So 90 degrees turns into 100 degrees inside, and their AC is not working. So we're outside. Bethany brings a guitar, and was like, let's sing. Let's worship. What else are we going to do, right? We can either sleep outside or worship. So we did. Halfway through the first song, boom, power comes back on. So it's like, yeah. So we just continued. It was like 11:30, I think, before we went to bed. So it was an amazing trip, guys. Absolutely amazing. My tablet turned off. So thank you guys so much for that. There are tons of stories that I just can't get to. I'll be up here all day just telling stories, but that's not what we're here for. So it is great that it lines up with Send Disciples, because that's the focus of today. So how many of you have ever been on a mission trip? Raise your hand. Okay, cool. Don't feel bad if you have not. Okay, not everyone is called to do trips like this. So now this time we were sent to a foreign country. And so many of you are asking, you know, what about our mission field here, right? What about here? What are we doing here? Well, believe it or not, Scripture has something to say about that. So you learned in the last 2 weeks how our church and how every believer is called to be and make disciples. But we are called to do all three. And we'll see that in God's word this morning, to be, make, and send disciples. So let's take a look and see what it means to send disciples. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 4. Yeah, we went to Mexico in the hottest week, literally the hottest week, they said. I was like, wow, what a great time, though. You know, even though it was hot, we're sweating. You sometimes take 2 showers a day, but that's what the locals said. They said, just take 2 showers a day. We all do it. So it was really awesome, really awesome. And yeah, I did get a chance to fix a car while I was there. That was the joke my wife and I said, you know, when you send somebody who has a specialty on a trip, you usually have an encounter that needs that person. So I know Thor was saying there was one time that they had a trained medic on their trip, and he's like, okay, hold up now, let's not have that. But Chris and Heather Nickerson, who run Lightshine, their van was overheating real bad. Of course, it's 100 degrees. You're trying to run AC. It doesn't work. They don't mix. So we had a moment to do that. And that was totally God's doing, too. Chris doesn't like to get help from people because he's the guy that helps people. So he was kicking against it so bad. He's like, no, I want you to be with your team. There's other things to do. Well, we had a gap in the schedule, and everything they tried to fill it with got canceled. Nothing would work. And I was like, Chris, what's God trying to tell you? I'm going to fix your radiator. So he's like, okay, we can do it. So it was really cool how God even opened up that door. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Let's read verse 4 and 8, 4 through 8 together. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Okay, so let's set the stage for what's going on here. This is after Jesus was crucified and he rose again. And he'd been hanging out for 40 days, teaching people and prepping the disciples just a little bit more. So for his ultimate departure, right? He knew what was happening. He had told them, yet probably didn't all connect yet. We have just read that this is the last moments that Jesus shares with his disciples before he ascends. So he tells them to wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And waiting can be incredibly hard to do. And when Jesus tells us to wait, it seems to be even harder because a lot of times it's the work that we want to do. And he says, wait. So some folks are born missionaries, right? They pop out of the womb ready to go. They're like, let's go. We're ready to go. Foreign countries, wherever, I'm ready. And there's many times when they have to wait to be built up, to be prepared, to be worked on by God for this eventual work. They have to be made into disciples. So you never want to rush into long-term missions overseas. Definitely don't want to do that. You won't be prepared for the difficulties that go along with it. Much like the disciples, they have a mission God's about to give them, but they aren't fully prepared yet. They don't quite have what they need. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step." And this verse has been one that I've been repeating over and over past few months, especially in preparation for the trip. Because if you've done mission work, you have a plan, but it never works out exactly the way you want it to. There's always something weird that happens. So he says to wait, right? Wait here, and for good reason, because they will need what is about to be given to them. And so what does he say to them? Rereading verse 5, he says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The instruction that Jesus gave them is a massive one, if you really think about it. He's sending them to make disciples, to start the process all over again. And that's how it is. You go, you get built up, you're sent to whatever it is, and you work on that with somebody else, and so on and so on. But how can we expect to do that on our own, unprepared? How can we possibly think to navigate through persecution, a language barrier like we had in Mexico, or any other hiccup along the way to achieve that mission that God has given us? The message that will go out is also not a popular one. And we've seen in Scripture and maybe have experienced yourself. It's not a popular message. So, but look what's happened so far with Jesus. He was put to death. Something he said would happen. He told the disciples, but they didn't quite believe it. Like, that's not, no, this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. That's not going to be. And then it happens. It happens. The ultimate thing that can happen in persecution is you die. There's nothing else left. But it didn't take, and he rose again 3 days later. But they certainly tried. And the apostles, or sent ones, is what they're called. That's what apostles means, is sent ones. They're going to be hated and ridiculed. And to many, the gospel is offensive. We need power that we don't possess ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. This is exciting news for the disciples, even though they don't quite understand what that means yet. They don't understand yet. Soon they will. Acts chapter 2, which we're not going to get to, but I encourage you to read on. It happens. And then it's like, boom, a switch is flipped, and they take off running, and they're off doing their thing. But they think that the kingdom is coming as promised, that Israel is going to be restored again to greatness, like in the days of the kings. And they ask a question. And what do they ask? They say, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority.'" So the disciples had asked the same question a few times before, okay? And other people have asked it too. There was Pharisees that asked, trying to trip Jesus up. But it's a good question, right? When's the kingdom coming? They read it in Scripture. All the prophets say that this is going to happen. When's this happening? Most of them are expecting this physical kingdom where Jesus is going to come in on a white horse. Not yet, though. That's later. And knock out the Romans, right? And Israel's going to be restored again. So they're thinking of this physical, here and now kingdom. And their question has not really been answered to their understanding quite yet. And so much happened since Christ's death that it would seem that things would change. Jesus has been around for 40 days, right? No end in sight. 40 days, that's pretty good, right? Like, I don't think he's going anywhere. This is the moment they think they have been looking for. So, yeah, it seems like a legitimate question. Is the kingdom here? Are we ready? You're sticking around. Is this the time? Well, Jesus answers them, but of course, never in a direct way, because where's the fun in that? He always answers in a way that tends to teach you something, which we always can learn something from Jesus, from Scripture too. He basically says they don't get to know some of the things. And you know, that's okay. There's some things I don't want to know. And I trust that God has it. He knows what's best. And I'm along for the ride for this thing. Paul even says that we see through a mirror dimly, until that day when we are taken home. That's RJ paraphrase. So don't hold me to that. But it is. We see things dimly. There's some things we just don't understand. There's some things in Scripture we can read it. We can read through it every year of our life. And still there's going to be mysteries that we don't understand. So he answers them, teaching them. They don't see that the work they're about to do, being sent out, is going to be building the kingdom. They're going to be doing the thing that they're asking about. So they'll quickly realize. Some people say that Jesus didn't answer their question. He just kind of blazed past their question with a statement. But I think the answer he gave was the best answer. And then they're going to reread 7-8 and see what that answer is. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So, once again, the answer he gives, you don't need to know times or seasons, but I do have work for you. He says, but, right? He's like, you don't need to know. It's not for you to know. But I have this for you. And lo and behold, it answers your question, right? Because the work you're doing is going to be building the kingdom. So he's not ignoring the question, but it's both a teaching moment and a command for them. So now we're getting to the send part of the be, make, send. We have the context of what's going on. But all that happened before, all of Jesus' ministry, all the ups and downs that the disciples had, were in preparation for this moment. They were being made disciples for 3 years, not knowing what the eventual goal was. They had been sent out, if you remember, 2 by 2 to go out. Well, that was a warm-up, right? That was a warm-up before the big game. Now we're getting into the big game. You don't need to know when, But he says, here's the how and the why. You'll receive power from the Holy Spirit, he says, because I'm sending you out to be my ambassadors all over the world. And this verse that's coming up on the screen, it was a key point to our mission trip. We have, what's your goal on this trip? You have to have a goal. What's God trying to get us to do while we're on this trip? And a lot of prayer went into this, and we are to be ambassadors for Christ. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So he's sending them out with this message of reconciliation. And so what is an ambassador, right? Many of you guys know what an ambassador is, but it's someone who speaks or performs actions on someone else's behalf. And we have ambassadors to the United States all over the world, and they speak on behalf of the president or government, and they deliver a message, or they have a goal that they're given. I want you to do this while you're here. Okay? That's an ambassador. The disciples and us too are ambassadors for Christ. So what message or what work does he want us to share? If we're being sent, what is the message that we, great, we know we're being sent. Cool. What are we to say? What is it? Reconciliation. The gospel. Another scripture for reference is for being sent, Great Commission is Matthew 28:19-20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In order, you go, you make disciples, and you have to send them. And what's the duration? He says, I'm with you even to the end of the age. So it doesn't stop. It's a continuing, never-ending process that we have to complete, that we are commanded to complete. So what's reconciliation, you may ask? That's a fancy Christianese term, it seems like. What does it mean to be reconciled with somebody? How many of you have ever had an argument with somebody? I see everybody's hand up. Come on. Everybody has had an argument with somebody. You're not angels. I know that. Okay? Even angels have arguments, right? That's with Satan, but that's beside the point. And there's no reconciliation there. But you get into a fight with somebody, okay? Like it's your kids, with your parents, what have you, somebody at work. There comes a point when you have to reconcile with that person in order to continue on. Me, my mom and I were not seeing eye to eye for many years. We didn't talk. And the moment came when God commanded me to forgive. I was like, I can do that, but I'm not going to reconcile with her. You know, that's what I told myself. Well, he had a different plan. So I had to reconcile with my mom. And that took us talking through our differences. And we had differences. But now the relationship is healed and it's good. And I'm so thankful for it. But with God, from the moment sin entered in, we were enemies with God. Totally separated. And we had to be reconciled to God. You had prophets coming in proclaiming this. You had the law that was set up that was not completed until Christ came. We needed salvation. We needed someone to be that for us so that we could be on the same, not the same plane, but in the same relationship with God that he desires for us. We couldn't have that before Christ. We had to be reconciled. So that's the message we are sending out to people. That's the message we are to take. We are separated from a holy God. All have sinned, right? We fall short. But God loved us enough to send Jesus so that we could be reconciled to him. That's the message that we have to send out. All right, so that's cool, right? We know what, and we kind of know how to do it, which is great. It's good to be in that state of I kind of know, because then you're relying on the Holy Spirit, right? You got to walk in the Spirit. We talked about this in men's breakfast, walking in the Spirit. What does that look like, right? So we have to be able to do that. We have to listen. So what does that look like? What does the Holy Spirit do? What's he doing in us? So remember what we talked about before is that we need the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that are asked of us. We need the Holy Spirit. Old Testament prophets had God speaking to them directly. They knew what to do and how to accomplish it. Sometimes they didn't know why. They didn't understand why, but they knew what they had to do. So we too have the Spirit of God living in the heart of every believer. So each of us has the ability to fulfill this command. If you are a believer in Christ, you have the Spirit, you have the ability to fulfill this command. Whether you feel like you do or not, the Holy Spirit does the work, not you or I. But how? How does this work? Turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 5. Keep your finger, well, you can keep your finger in Acts, but it's not that far away. So, John chapter 16, and we're going to read through it. This is Jesus before his death, before he goes to the cross. He's instructing the disciples more and more. He's getting down to the bare bones of it all. And so he's talking about what's coming with the Holy Spirit. He says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So, it is for our benefit, and Jesus says, that he goes to die and sends the Spirit, because he does the convicting. We're just the messengers. We just got to show up. It even says here in John that he will declare the things to us, what is needed, what is to be said. We have the rest of Acts is full of amazing examples of the Holy Spirit working through the disciples, the apostles. Now they're sent. Their name changes, you know. The apostles and other people. We are now the sent ones today. We are sent out to present a message of salvation to the world. Not quite like the apostles, right? Not in that way. But God does the convicting. The command is still the same, to go and make disciples. And we just show up. God does the convicting and saving. Whole time in Mexico, we're talking to these kids, and there's nothing different that we said to them that anybody else in their life hasn't said already. But for some reason, it made a sense. It connected. They're like, the light went off. Wasn't anything we said. Nothing. We're just reiterating the same message. But the Holy Spirit does the work. He's the one that did the convicting in some of these kids' lives. And we started to see change in just a week. Real change in some of these kids. So we have the what and the how. Now we need to where? Where do we go? What does that mean? In a nutshell, all over, the end, let's pray. Worship team, come up. Just kidding. What does Jesus say first? Go back to Acts. Acts chapter 1. Yeah, I'm making you turn, but at least it's not very far, right? We're not doing sword drills of scripture. So he says, first shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Okay? Jerusalem. Where are they now? Jerusalem. Okay. So the first place he commands is your front door, right where you are. Where's your Jerusalem? Where's our Jerusalem? Where do you live? Right? Ellicott, Callahan, Peyton, Falcon, Rush, Yoder. The list goes on. I can't name all the little communities. Middle of nowhere for you. You're like, I think I'm Rush, but I could be Truckton. I don't know. Either way, it's wherever you are. That's your mission. Jerusalem, he says, you're here. Start here. Where do we have lost souls in need of a Savior? Everywhere. Everywhere we walk. So that's where we first need to take the gospel. To wherever we are. I'll tell you a story that kind of helped put this in perspective for me. I met a guy, Francisco, in the airport in Chihuahua as we're leaving. My son, whose name is also Caleb, got selected for, where is he? He's not even up here. Oh, okay. Well, he's not here. Oh, hey, buddy. All right. Anywho, Caleb got selected by, you know, State Department sends a list to get this wonderful extra special document check and security screening. So he's by himself, right? He's a traveling minor, and he's the only one that got picked. I'm like, gee, thanks, State Department. You guys are so awesome. So I didn't want to get on the plane without him. Last thing I need is leaving my kid in Mexico, and I got to deal with my wife's wrath. Not cool. So I'm going to stick around, and if something happens, hey, we'll hitch a ride back to the States, right? I don't care, but I'm sticking with my child. So this guy, Francisco, offered to translate for me. Super awesome guy. Got to talking with him and found out he lives at Woodman and Powers. Well, cool. And he goes, well, what church are you guys with? I'm like, Rocky Mountain Calvary in Ellicott. He goes, I got a family in Ellicott. All right, small world. So tell me, there's much bigger population. And he tells me there are people from Chihuahua in Ellicott, in the Springs. Huge population. I had no idea. I knew there were some. You know, Amy works at the school, and she says, yeah, there's some girls there. And they say they're from Chihuahua. Cool. Didn't know how big the population was here. So that kind of put it in this perspective, right? You're going to Chihuahua to look for people, and people from Chihuahua are right next door to you, and you didn't even know it. Like, really, really cool that this happened. You don't ever even need to leave town to find people who are lost. Not just folks from Chihuahua. We're talking Fuelbees, right? The bank, Subway, next door, wherever. The guy's doing construction. I don't know. I don't know if they're saved. I don't know where their eternity lies. But we start right here. We need only step outside to find lost, whoever that may be. Whoever that may be. And when I say that, I mean whoever. We had a small group that went down to downtown Colorado Springs to the Pride Parade to prayer walk, be available for whatever the Spirit was moving them to do. But you see, all have fallen short, okay? We can't isolate one group of people. We can't say, well, they need to clean up their act first. Did you clean up your act before you came to Christ? No. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah is right. Amen to that. We need to preach Christ first. The sin may be something that makes us uncomfortable, right? It may be as ugly as murder and as mild in our eyes as petty theft, right? But aren't these listed here together in the same bunch? Because all have sinned and fallen short. So send the message out. Be the ambassador. Share the message of reconciliation. Okay. So now we have all that. Now we're told to expand out. Can you guys pull up my wonderful map if it does work? Maybe. I don't know. Hey, my map. Woohoo. I always tell the youth, I'm like, I should have got a map. But I remember this time, I got a map. Okay. So he says next, Judea and Samaria. I'm going to go over here because I'm righty. There's Jerusalem, highlighted right there. Judea, Samaria, right? So first Jerusalem, then he says to expand out. So it's like saying our nation as a whole, right? That's their nation, right? The nation of Israel is kind of all throughout there, Galilee. Nobody can come up to me and tell me that the U.S. has heard the gospel and doesn't need mission trips. It's just not true. Gospel is needed everywhere, especially our country. Can't deny it. RMC has, in fact, made several trips to Detroit. There's a whole group of people there that have never heard the gospel. Just recently, they were sent to Denver to partner with a couple churches there for a trip. You're like, well, that's not missions. It absolutely is. The mission is here. Send disciples. We sent to Denver. And then lastly, Jesus says to the end of the earth. So that's everything all over, right? So there's land here, land there. Roman Empire, that's the known world at the time. All right, you guys can take the map down. Thank you. The whole earth. To the end of the earth, he says. No, that's not a reference to flat earth, okay? But a metaphor. Means everywhere until Jesus comes back. We read that in Matthew, right? Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. So he's going to be with you until your mission is done. We're not supposed to stop being ambassadors until either the Lord takes us, takes his church home, or you die. Sorry, it's plain and simple. That's our job. Then your job is done, right? You can't do much more after that. So do the work. Do the work. Be the ambassador. Nobody is to know the times or seasons. Just do the work that has been set before you. That's the answer that was given to the disciples. You don't know, and that's okay. But I have this thing for you. I've heard a couple of statements concerning missions, and I just want to share these with you because Scripture says something different than what some of these things are. At first I've heard, I don't need to go anywhere. My mission field is here, right? You're not wrong. We just figured that out. You're not wrong. Just missing a point. We are told to spread the gospel everywhere, but you don't necessarily need to travel in order to do that. If you are, let's say, prepping people to go to overseas ministry. So in a way, you are doing overseas ministry. You are preparing them for doing this. If you are praying for somebody who's doing overseas missions, you are united in one Holy Spirit, one God, with that person who's doing this job. So you are fulfilling the Great Commission. You are doing. Not everybody's built for overseas missions, and that's okay. That's okay. But we are told to spread the gospel everywhere. And not everybody has the physical means to go to Mexico, Peru, or Uganda, or But we do have the ability to support people who are led to do so. So overseas missions, another statement is overseas missions or any mission trip is just tourism. Well, you can clearly see if you've ever been on a trip with RMC, that's not the case at all. I don't call tarring a roof 90 degree heat in the morning tourism. Okay. Yeah, we went on a kayaking trip, but we formed relationships, right? It set the stage for the whole rest of the week. Without that, nobody realized, without that moment with these kids, would our bond have been the same? Would the message have gone out? Would it have impacted them the way it did when we were shoulder to shoulder, side by side, drowning next to them? I mean, come on. But it's not tourism. It's not tourism when you have to, as Bethany and Caleb will understand this one, cut out cardboard swords until you get blisters, just so the kids can have this Sword of the Lord project to do, which, by the way, wasn't fair because Thor and Amy had poster board to cut out, and we had cardboard with kids' scissors, mind you. Yeah, so... But you know what? You do the Lord's work anyways. We made connections that we couldn't have done any other way. None of these are my idea of tourism. You know, I've been to D.C. I didn't do any of this in D.C. You know, it was hot, but I didn't do any of this. Lastly, some people say short-term mission trips are unfruitful. So Chris and Heather Nickerson, who run Lightshine, say they prefer short-term trips because they've had some longer term people come and they start missing home. They overwork themselves and can't keep up the same pace that they were doing. They get burned out really quickly. So short term trips, everybody's like, use up all their energy in a week. They are going, and it's great. They get a lot of things done. They minister to a lot of people, even though it's short. It's super impactful, and it's super helpful for Chris and Heather and the Lightshine team. So for them, it's either short-term, 1 week, or something more very long-term. Like, they've been there 14 years. Okay, maybe not 14 years, but for you, if you decide to go. But a longer term than some of the other trips they've had. So the truth is, sometimes we are needed to go to other countries to live out the command to spread the gospel, to live out send. We are here to take his word to the ends of the earth. Sometimes it takes one person like Amy to connect with one girl. Amen. And be able to share the gospel with her and her to find hope where she had no hope before. It took this trip to do that. If not for one person, is it worth it? Absolutely. Most definitely. So after all this, Jesus left them for his place next to the Father. He spent the 3 years prepping and teaching. The disciples were ready for this next phase in their life. Now they're to live it out. And they do it so well. Some stayed locally. We have evidence of some of this. Peter and Andrew stuck around Jerusalem. Others went a little further, like Philip. Then you have John and Paul that ended up all over the place, all over the map. Each had their own gifts and their own calling to where they were going. But all were doing the same work, all sharing the same gospel message of salvation. So I hope we have a better idea of what it means to send disciples. I hope that you are encouraged by this. Know that we cannot do just one of these. We cannot just be or make or send. All three must occur in some way. In some way, we can all be, make, and send disciples. Most of the time, you don't plan on it, but you end up doing it anyway. You end up doing it anyway. You share the gospel with somebody while you're in line at Walmart, well, you're a disciple. You've been made a disciple and been growing, and then you were sent out and you shared the gospel. Guess what? You fulfilled the Great Commission. Keep going, right? Keep going. What's next? So whether that be here or in the community or far beyond another country, God has a calling for each and every one of you. All we need to do is ask what it is, and he will reveal it. Trust the Holy Spirit and his leading in your life, and be sent disciples. I'm going to call the worship team up, and we're going to have prayer teams on either side. If you've never made the commitment to Christ, if you are still separated from Christ, and you've not been reconciled, the message in Scripture is clear. Don't waste time. Jesus even said, you're not to know times or seasons. You don't know when the day of your death comes and you're standing before the Lord. Don't wait for this most important decision of your life. So we'll have prayer teams up front. We'll have prayer teams in the back. While worship is going, seek prayer with somebody. If you've accepted Christ, we have Bibles and these informational packets for you to help you get started in being a disciple and how to be made into a disciple, and then prayerfully, ultimately, to be sent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the clarity of your word on this matter. Lord, the calling is so clear to us and what we're supposed to do as followers of you, as redeemed ones. Lord, this same message needs to be sent out. Lord, I pray that you give us all a heart for people. It's so hard to love people enough. Lord, but they need you just as much as we did. So Lord, give us all the message of reconciliation to share with those around us without fear of condemnation or persecution, because it could happen. But Lord, you sent your Spirit to guide us, to care for us, to be our helper, our advocate. So Lord, remind us to rely on him. Lord, thank you so much for sending everybody here this morning. Lord, I pray that if anybody needs to do business with you, Lord, they can do it right there in their seat. Or they can go seek prayer. Seek prayer from somebody who understands, who's probably been there themselves, who can love them and walk alongside them through whatever is troubling them today.